Humble in defeat, not a chance.
In these cases, my prosecutors presented a great deal of evidence to support the charges alleged. And although we came close to convicting one of the officers, the judge, who is within his right, has made it clear that he doesn't agree with the state's theory of the case.
A dogged, unhesitating search for justice in the death of Freddie Gray in April of 2015 ended with cases dropped and three acquittals. Baltimore City Attorney Marilyn Rosby's promise that this case would be different than so many others in America goes unfulfilled.
To the people of Baltimore and the demonstrators across America, I heard your call for no justice, no peace. Your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of this young man.
Mosby's visibility, along with her city council member husband Nick, made them a power couple in the middle of a national story on police brutality and racism in America. The very personal saga of Mosby and her husband is chronicled in the article Baltimore versus Marilyn Mosby by Will Hilton, contributing writer at the New York Times Magazine. It's a story that touches everything from centuries-old racial history in Baltimore to the Mosbys' suddenly skittish marriage.
Before Marilyn Mosby, the top prosecutor in Baltimore, took office, you had prosecutors for Ferguson, Missouri, and for Staten Island fail to indict police officers in the cases of Eric Garner and Michael Brown. And so the mood of the country was one largely of sort of disbelief and outrage. And so when the Freddie Gray death happened in April of that year, She was already in a position of power and in a psychological position where she was prepared to take the close look at this that other prosecutors had failed to do. And this was the kind of case, the kind of difficult decision that I think she, you know, had been gearing up for since law school anyway, but in some ways for all of her life.
How does her husband Nick figure into the story and complicate matters really for both of them?
Nick is a member of the city council here in Baltimore. He's absolutely been a rising star in Baltimore city politics. And so Nick was on a track that seemed very clearly and may still very clearly be, well, that Nick will be mayor someday. But his announcement of his campaign for mayor in the middle of last year was right after Marilyn's announcement that she was going to be prosecuting six police officers for Freddie Gray's death. And so the charges that she was filing seemed to bring that controversy into his campaign. But then his campaign also seemed to bring the veneer of politics into her prosecutorial process. And so for each of them, their close connection to each other created an additional challenge. But the question really about why she wasn't able to get the convictions, I think, comes down to whether it was mistakes that she made or, as she sees it, that the obstruction and intransigence of the police department prevented her from getting the kinds of evidence that she needed and which maybe existed and that she believed she would be able to procure but was unable to.
Did the judge hand her her head in these acquittals? And what was the significance of the police department feeling as though it was under siege here in the way that the prosecutor was handling these cases?
So in the case of the judge, you certainly had the feeling that the judge was unimpressed at many moments in the trials. He seemed to be shaking his head and sort of exasperated by things that it appeared that he saw as mistakes. In the case of how cops have reacted, it's been terrible. I mean, if you talk to longtime cops in Baltimore, rightly or wrongly, the sentiment is pervasive that they're worried that the state's attorney is going to press charges against them for what they perceive as doing their jobs. And so their reaction to that is to do a less than full endeavor. And so I had cops sitting at my house with me, cops with decades of experience, saying things like the relationship between the police and the prosecutors in Baltimore is broken. It's fractured. It's a fractured relationship. And you can expect 300 murders a year from now on. Last year, we had a 63% increase in murders. And to think that that has something to do with this destroyed relationship between the police and the city's prosecutors is really unsettling.
Is that how people are seeing this in the community?
I would say that's how cops are seeing it. I think within the community, there's a tremendous amount of support for Mosby. You know, within a lot of the community of Baltimore, there's been a sense that cops have been coming in and abusing people for so long. The idea that the cops were being charged and the sort of larger presumption that that means they're going to be held accountable in future incidents, I think is greeted with gratitude.
Nevertheless, would you say that this power couple, Nick and Marilyn Mosby have fallen from grace?
I would. I'd say that it's been a very dramatic fall. You know, Nick was on his way to becoming mayor, is now abandoned his campaign for mayor and also given up his seat on the council. Marilyn will remain in the top prosecutor's chair for at least another 2 years, but far from the sort of halo that seemed to be around her. Now the sort of split, the fault lines within the city are opened up around her office. The fault lines with the police department are opened up, and she's just certainly not in the position that she was in.
Will Hilton, this is a hard question to ask, and I suspect it's a hard subject for you to talk about. Nevertheless, because these people are so public, what's been the impact on their relationship?
Marilyn talked to me about that a number of times, and then they talked about it with each other for the first time in the middle of one of our get-togethers. I think the way I would characterize, I don't want to ventriloquize for them, but I think the way I would characterize what they said was that the basis of their relationship since they met at Tuskegee when they were, you know, 18 and 19 years old has been this sort of shared political sensibility. They have come up through life together. And because of their separate positions, because of the appearances of conflict between them, they started to reduce the communication. And I think that whatever else is happening between them, they were very clear that not being able to talk about their work lives at home, and that without it, they said there's a chasm. There's this big set of issues that they can't talk about with each other, about which they would rather talk than almost anything. It's almost no subject that they've talked about for longer and more detail. And so it's really a big loss. And what it meant, as I began to understand it, is that, you know, you really have to think about what the fallout has been from Freddie Gray's death. There's been just, their scars are everywhere, beginning with Freddie Gray's family, but then this big issue of, you know, cops and prosecutors having trouble cooperating on cases, and all these other political careers that have gone down. Tony Bass, the police commissioner, is gone. Stephanie Rawlings Blake, the mayor, is not going to stay in the office because of it. And yet at the deepest level, the person who's paid the greatest price is Marilyn Mosby, the person who set out fervently to make sure someone did pay a price, and it ended up being her.
Will Hilton is a contributing writer at the New York Times Magazine and author of the article Baltimore versus Marilyn Mosby, and he's the author most recently of the book Vanished. Thanks so much, Will.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.